Weeks ago, when we planned worship, I was convinced that I was going to use 2 Corinthians as my scripture today. And then last week, I went a little different direction and talked about sin and punishment. And I heard from a few of you that it was maybe a little different idea. And to be honest, I know that it's something that I've wrestled with for some time now. And if I'm completely honest, I'd rather preach something that makes you go home and think about something for a few days than something that makes you go home that you agree with and you just go on. Kevin always reminds me that Fred Craddock always believed that the sermon wasn't the words that come from here in this pulpit, but that the sermon is what goes on in your head after you hear these words. So if you weren't here, I talked about the scripture where Jesus told his disciples that when bad things happen to us, it's not punishment. That's not the way that God works. It's not about checks and balances. When bad things happen, it's not because you deserve something bad to happen to you. So it really brought to the surface some things that I've wrestled with. Why have we always heard that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and we concentrated on that? Isn't that punishment? And I suggested that perhaps the cross isn't about sin and punishment, but about love. And as I thought about it more and more this week and looked at this scripture this week, I needed to preach on the prodigal son, because that's my idea of God's love for us. I often feel like the other son. I often feel like there needs to be punishment for bad decisions. But that of a father who, rather than punish, loves, is a story that we need to hear. Again, I know that we live in a world that likes and needs checks and balances, punishment for wrongdoing in order to make everything balance. But when we deal with God, it's not on worldly standards. Thank goodness. Well, thank God. We talk a lot about grace and forgiveness. But if there is a punishment for wrongdoing, then is there really grace? Grace is forgiveness of a wrongdoing without it being earned. No punishment involved. I think we see that especially strong in the visual that Jesus paints for us in this story, describing this father running to greet the son who's gone off, who spent his inheritance, and then returns needing help. The father doesn't stand up on the steps of the house watching the son walk all the way up the road and fall before him and beg forgiveness. Keep in mind that during this time, no landowner would have been caught running, much less running to meet a son who had done him wrong. But here we see a father running to meet his son. The son doesn't even have the opportunity to ask for forgiveness. Now, I'm thinking a lot about family dynamics. So many people have very difficult times with their families, and many times children get in their heads that they know a better way, and so they take off on their own, and it causes a parent heartache. Often parents and children become estranged, but this beautiful story gives us all hope that even the most strained relationships can be reunited. I don't know if you've ever had anyone run to you and embrace you, but it's one of my favorite things in the whole wide world when one of my grandsons comes running up to me and jumps in my arms and wraps their arms around my neck. There is nothing more wonderful than that feeling of being totally accepted, of seeing that big smile and knowing that they want to be with you. I imagine this son could feel nothing better at that moment than a father that totally accepted him right there, just as he was. No need for punishment. No need for the son to beg or ask. Just complete acceptance. That's true grace. Yes, the son fell and begged forgiveness, but the father knew the son's heart long before they embraced. Just seeing him in the distance, he knew. The other example that I love in Jesus' story is that of the other son. He stayed. He did what his father asked of him. He worked and he helped so that when the brother returns, he's not exactly happy. He's especially not happy that the father is celebrating without any consequences. He says, "And what about me? Look at me. When are you going to celebrate me?" In this story, it would have been natural for the father to send word to the son through one of the servants to say, "Get in here and celebrate." But that's not, again, what the father does. He goes to his son. It might have been natural for him to get angry and say, "Get over yourself and get in here." But again, that's not what he does. He goes to his son and he tells them, "You are always with me. What is mine is yours and always will be. But what was lost has been found, and we need to celebrate." This story is such a great way for us to look at ourselves. I think this story reflects the two dimensions that we usually face. That of needing fairness and needing things to balance and needing there to be natural consequences for behaviors. And then there's that side of knowing that we make mistakes every day and we need grace and we need acceptance. And we need love. This story is always called the prodigal son because the word prodigal means spending money or resources freely or recklessly. And well, the son obviously did just that. But I wonder if the story is really more about the prodigal father. Because the word prodigal also means having or giving something on a lavish scale. And the father did just that. He loved on a lavish scale. He loved both of his sons. That son which stayed by his side and worked side by side and did whatever he asked of him. And the son which really showed no concern for his father, the son who wanted his inheritance before his father had even passed. That son which felt entitled. And so he goes away and he lives the way he wants to, and he goes through the money. The differences, one being good, one being bad. But he loved them both, and he loved them both extravagantly, like a father does. A love that cannot be earned or measured. So this story of the prodigal father says to me that God, through the life of Jesus, acts as our prodigal parent, loving us in a way that can't be measured or earned. Whether we walk the straight and narrow and do everything right, or whether we do things the wrong way, when we walk towards home, God runs towards us with his arms open wide, and he embraces us with a love that's not based on balance or punishment, but on grace. And we're forgiven long before we even have the chance to say, God, please forgive me. Because God knows our heart. And the cross that we're moving towards this Lenten season is just that, a cross of extravagant love. Because we have a prodigal God who gave to us on an extravagant scale, Jesus, who walked among us, who continues to teach us, and who shows us the way to walk and to live. May we seek to be prodigal people today and forever. Amen and amen.